This is the Shanice Lewis Show, the number one podcast for plus-size women. With your host, the queen of curvy conversation, Shanice Lewis.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis. Today is Monday, September 2nd, 2019. Make sure you're following this show's social media pages on Facebook at The Shanice Lewis Show and on Instagram and Twitter at Shanice Show. And make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. Today, we have a very special guest. Maui Bigelow is the curator of Fat Girl Fresh, a digital platform that blends feminism with social, fashion, and beauty culture. Maui is known for bringing progressive, authentic conversations with a southern charm only she can provide. Her annual event, hosted in Atlanta, Fat Girl Fresh Presents Lifestyles, is a tribute event that honors and celebrates promising and notable female leaders in fashion, entertainment, and empowerment. Maui has been featured in articles for Plus Model Magazine, Mike.com, Bustle, BuzzFeed, Yahoo, Allure, Good Housekeeping, and 17 Magazine, just to name a few. For her latest project, she has joined forces with urban media giant Madame Noir to present Curvy Noir, a fashion experience happening this Sunday, September 8th, in New York City. Hosted during the height of New York Fashion Week, this event will yield some of the most prominent Black women that the plus-size community and industry has to offer. So we're so excited to talk to Maui today about her latest event. Let's see if we can get her on the line. And again, her event is called Curvy Noir, an event especially for Black women happening this weekend in NYC during New York Fashion Week. And we're going to learn all about it today and her brand, Fat Girl Fresh. So we're going to see if we can get her on the line so we can learn about this today. As I mentioned before, make sure you subscribe and rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. We are on almost every popular podcast app, and more are on the way. So make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. You'll get an automatic notification on your phone when a new episode appears. And here is Maui. Let's get her on the line. Hi, Maui. How are you?
Hey, Shanice. How are you?
I know you're super busy this week. Thank you for taking the time out to talk to me.
I'm never too busy for you, girl. But I am busy.
So let's go back to when I remember first meeting you. I first met you in person in Atlanta in 2014, and it was an event for Lyris. It was one of her model boot camps. And I'm not sure if you were even called Fat Girl Fresh at the time, but from now, from then to now, something has shifted in your brand, and you started taking off the last few years. So did you rebrand, or did you just start hustling more?
No, I didn't rebrand. Ever since I came into the blogosphere, I've been Fat Girl Fresh. And I didn't necessarily rebrand. I was working quietly. I worked for several other top-tier influencers, and I just worked my way up, honestly. Like, there has definitely been a shift in my favor over the last couple of years, but it wasn't because of rebranding. It was just me understanding that I had work to do behind the scenes to get to where I needed to be, and I got the pleasure to work with some really dope people like Lyris, like Marie, Danae from the Curvy Fashionista, like Ty Alexander from Gorgeous and Gray, Mello from Full Blossom Magazine, Gwen DeVoe, Full Figure Fashion Week. Like, I worked behind the scenes with all of those people. I wrote for the Curry Fashionista. I wrote for Gorgeous and Gray. I wrote for Full Blossom Magazine. Like, I volunteered in spaces with people in the community. And when it was my time, it was my time.
So that's interesting. So a part of your success is that you volunteered your time so you could learn how the people in the industry that had mastered it have done it, and you were able to see it up close.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I honestly think there is there's a misunderstanding among people who want to be in the industry and who want to blog and model and be photographers and whatever it is that you want to do. I think that it's a misunderstanding among us at times. I know it's a misunderstanding because now in the space that I'm in, I have people reaching out to me wanting to work, wanting to be mentored and things of that nature. And the first thing they ask is, how do I get paid? And you need to understand that your checks and your coins are not going to immediately come. There are too many people in these spaces that have, I don't want to say perfected because I don't think no one perfects anything, but there are too many people in these spaces that have done the work and that are out here leading the charge to think that you're going to wake up one day and say, hey, I want to be a blogger. And I want these brands to pay me to write for them. Like, that's not going to happen. It's not realistic. And I definitely understood that I had work to do that was not connected to some type of financial gain. And honestly, for me, I didn't care about the financial gain. I have degrees. I had a job when I entered this space. You know what I'm saying? I was an educator for a long time, so in regards to making money from it, it wasn't a big deal. I knew that that would come in time. I knew that I had skill. I know that I'm a good writer. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying for those writing skills still via student loans. So, I understood that, but I also understood that I had work to do. And a lot of people don't want to do the work. But I was blessed to be able to connect with all of these different people who have been in different spaces and been successful as writers, as influencers, as community leaders. And so I was able to learn the game by working under them, not getting any glory or, you know, getting a little pat on the back here or there or whatever the recognition was until I had a better understanding of how the business works.
And also a benefit to you, too, is that when you were ready to introduce your event and your projects, people were already familiar with you and you weren't a stranger trying to start something and didn't have a relationship with anybody.
Now, what I will say about my event, when I created the first year that I had the event, I was definitely still a stranger. I think I had met Marie, but I wasn't working for her. I think I met her in passing at Full Figure Fashion Week. And the only thing I had under my belt at that time were, like, social media relationships and the fact that I had been writing for Full Blossom Magazine. So, you know, the event, although the event has been a huge success, it's been a huge blessing, it sells out every year, it grew in phases, you know what I'm saying? And that's because I had work to do. I mean, it sold out the first year, and it was just little old me, but at the same time, like, it's grown so much because I've learned so much. So the more I learn, the more it grows, honestly.
And another thing that I think attributes to your success is you are very open on your blog about your personal life. Do you think that's one of the things that sets you apart?
I know that it's one of the things that sets me apart. And I do that because I understand my purpose and I understand why I'm here. So even if there wasn't plus-size fashion blogging, I would still be here in some capacity because I understand my purpose, and I've understood my purpose since I was 10 years old. And I know that, like, all my trial and error, all my mistakes, all the pain, all the hardship is connected to women and girls. And I have to share my truth. I have to be transparent. I have to be honest, because I want to, you know, I want to do, even though I curse and I act up sometimes, I am God's girl. And I know that I have to live and be a certain way to please him, because I know what my purpose is. Like, if you don't know what your purpose is and you just out here doing whatever, then, you know, that's on you, because you don't know your purpose. But once you know and understand your purpose, you're held to a higher responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And in one of those personal things in your life that you were honest about, it was weight loss. And you were recently featured in a national article about weight loss among fat acceptance influencers. Now, weight loss is a taboo subject to many in the plus community. Have you had any backlash? And if so, how do you deal with it?
So, honestly, I don't know what it is about me. And I'm assuming that it's just my energy, and it's just the fact that I'm always honest and transparent. I'm just who I am. But I have not received not one bit of backlash, not one email of negativity, not anything. The most negativity that I have received in regards to my weight loss surgery, my weight loss, and my comments about weight loss have been other individuals who went through the same process and received negative backlash. Like, I've had a couple of people that were like, oh, I said this, and people got mad, but you said it, and it's okay. And I don't know what to tell them. Maybe it's delivery, maybe it's just who I am. I don't know what it is, but I have not received any negativity. I have not, you know, had anybody tap me on the shoulder and say, oh, well, you know, this person said this, or people are upset because you have this going on. Like, I haven't had any of that to transpire. If people have something negative to say about me in regards to my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions, in regards to weight loss surgery, none of it has come to me, none of it.
Well, that's good. So do you think maybe the difference is, since you had already been public about your health and your health problems, and you were doing weight loss specifically for your health, maybe that's different from another influencer that was doing it just for vanity?
I don't know. That could be it. That very well could be it. But I think that it does have something to do with that. I think that it also has something to do with the fact that I was very matter-of-fact about what I was doing, why I was doing it, and how I was going to do it. And at the end of the day, like anything that you say and do, it takes on a different form when you really don't care what the masses think. And I didn't care. Like, my top priority is my children. Like, aside from myself, they are my greatest responsibility. Like, I know that, you know, God gave me those kids to do and be what I'm supposed to do and be. And I'm trying to live for my kids. I'm trying to live for myself, too. But, I didn't care. I really, truly did not care. I felt like I did what I needed to do for me medically. And so it didn't matter. Like, I didn't have an issue with being plus size until it became a life or death situation.
Right.
And I still, you know, like, I never had a problem with my body. Y'all saw me out here with my stomach out, with my legs out, with my boobs out, showing thighs. Like, I never had a problem with it. I did the most at 376 pounds because I've always been, for the most part, I've always been in love with myself. I never had a problem with my body. Like, even when I didn't love myself, it wasn't about my body. So, you know.
So how is your health today, and how does it affect your daily life?
My health is much better today. My tumor markers are extremely low, so much so that my cancer is not even being treated. Medically, they call it smoldering, and that is a term for a person who has cancer or has this particular type of cancer. I have multiple myeloma. It's a blood cancer that housed under the leukemia and lymphoma family. So it's there and it's active, but the activity is so low that they won't even treat it because treatment will have a worse effect on me, than, you know, just watching it. So now I go to the doctor every 3 months. Periodically, I have to get iron infusions, but normally the iron infusions are connected to another medical issue that I have, which is fibroids. So if I start bleeding from my cycle, I'll bleed excessively and I'll need blood and iron. But the anemia is not necessarily anemia is an effect of multiple myeloma, but in my case, my anemia is more so connected to the fibroid than the cancer.
Got it. So you are a full-time influencer then, because you wouldn't be able to hold a full-time job right now outside the house, would you?
Well, yeah, I recently went to influencing full-time because I had a little medical scare while I was working. And so, yeah.
So despite all of this, you are still overcoming these obstacles because we mentioned your Lifestyle Honors event briefly, but this year marked your 6th year of that event. And are you starting planning for the 2020 event yet?
Yes, we already have 2020 in the books, on the books. The date is already set. Emails have started going out for potential honorees. The white party is already popping. And more than likely, we'll be adding a third event on that Sunday prior to everyone going home. So we're in full production mode for Lifestyle Honors also.
And you've added another event to your plate in another state that you don't live in, that you got to travel to produce this
one. I think that's my thing because, you know, I don't live in Atlanta either. I live outside of Atlanta, like 2.5 hours outside of Atlanta in Albany. And so when I started Lifestyle Honors, like I had people here in this town saying, oh, how you going to go to Atlanta and have an event and you live in Albany? So I went to Atlanta and did an event, and I didn't live in Atlanta, and now I'm going to New York and hosting an event, and I don't live in New York. So, you know, I read something in the Bible about, I think it was Job and how he had to go. Was it Job or Joseph? But anyway, they had to go outside of their comfort zone to find their success and what they needed. So I guess that's me.
So you don't have any challenges traveling so much?
No, I don't. Like sometimes I'm tired and beat down. And most times when I travel, I try to travel a day, at least a day ahead of my commitment and at least a day behind my commitment. So, you know, like I never do a turn and burn if I can help it.
Right. So how did you initially get connected with Madame Noir?
So I had been pitching Madame Noir for a while, and they never really, I never got them to bite. And then last year they were at the TCF Style Expo, and Marie asked me to sit on a panel with them. And so we did a panel, two of the editors from Madame Noir and myself. And so from there we just built a relationship, and they asked, was I interested in writing? I was like, yeah, girl, y'all ain't been getting my pitches. And it just went from there. So, and now it's been a year. My first post went live for them after Fashion Week last year while we were at KirbyCon. And so we're coming up to it again.
And why did you want to create an event especially for Black women during New York Fashion Week?
Because I feel like we are an underserved community of women. So Curvy Noir is basically about two underserved communities of women, Black women and plus-size women. Like, I feel like although in my heart no one styles and wows like Black women, the influencer space, in the blogger space, in the model space, in all of these spaces where we should be thriving because we influence the culture, many times we finish last. Like, even I know everybody sees it all the time. You see the Kardashians do certain things, and it's like it's the first time you've seen it. Like, I think Khloe had the braids, Kim and Khloe had the braids, and they were like, oh, they're boxer braids, and they come out with these new braids. And I'm like, girl, them cornrows, we've been wearing them for years. Cleo had them and set them off. Our grandma wore them up under their wigs. Like, we've been wearing braids for years. But they,
that's
where our country is. That's the climate. Like, Black girls do all of these really amazing, dope things, and then other people decide to jump on the bandwagon, and it becomes this major thing. And I just, I really think that we got to do better. You know what I'm saying? Like, even in the space that I'm in as a influencer, like, we get work. We definitely get work. We definitely get to work with brands. But when you see these campaigns, you see one little sprinkle of chocolate. And sometimes you don't even see a sprinkle of chocolate because they'll take the lighter-skinned dark girl over the darker-skinned Black girl. You know what I'm saying? So it's always a play with color. It's always a play with size. If they have a campaign and they use a plus-size girl, it's never a really fat girl. It's never a size 22, a size 24, a size 28. It's an 18 or four, not even an 18. It's probably a 14 or a 16 with a flat stomach and some hips. You know what I'm saying? So it's always, to me, it's always a downplay of color and a downplay of size, even if they do decide to let us come in the sandbox and play. They still, you know, downplay our presence. And I don't think that that's cool because we really do create the trends and the culture in these communities.
Yes, I agree. We do create trends and sometimes don't get any credit. So this is
a lot of times, like, it's just, and I'm over it. I'm over it because it's not fair. It's not fair if you create a car, a smart car, and everybody's driving it, but then I get the same smart car. You get no recognition for it being your car just because I made it a pink smart car. You know what I'm saying? I don't like it, and it's unfortunate because we have we have a generation of girls that are coming up behind us that need to know that they are just as capable, if not even more capable, as we are, and that, you know, they can influence and change the world too. Like, so it's responsibility more than anything.
So Curvy Noir is coming up this Sunday, September 8th, during New York Fashion Week. Tell us about the event. Specifically, who all is involved and on the program?
So Curvy Noir is this Sunday at Casa La Flim at 140 Charles Street in New York. There will be a panel and there will be a fashion showcase. On the panel, we will be talking about inclusion and diversity and how to really get your foot in the door in some of these spaces and how we can work together to be more visible and be more heard and things of that nature. And that panel will be moderated by Nikki Free of Nikki Freestyle. The panelist will be Shantae Burkett of Everything Curvy and Chic, Shayna Harrison from Out of the Corner, Sherry Washington. She is the multicultural public relations person at L'Oreal, and Brandy Victorian is the editor over at, she's the editor for Women's Issues at Madame Noir and Hello Beautiful.
And your fashion show, is it featuring plus size models or influencers?
The fashion show will feature all plus size models in a diverse palette. So we have some petite models, we have some extra tall models, we have some larger size models. But all of the models are they're all black girls, and they'll be walking for Jabri. We have Jabri on the program. We have Kenya Freeman. She was a finalist on Project Runway, and mm-hmm. she has a curve collection that's coming out. And Libby Ray Lingerie, they'll be there, and they have this new collection with Alila that has the flesh tone, the new, you know. But a lot of times, you know, when you get the new bras, they're not brown girl friendly. So they have a collection
right.
of brown girl friendly intimates that we're looking forward to seeing. And they also, Alila has bras that are for breast with more density. And black women normally have a greater density in their breasts. So we're really excited to have them show that. And I think that having them there creates the understanding that even though this is about black women and curvy women, we still have to understand that there are outside influences that can work with us, that can support us, that can have our back, and that can answer the call just like we can. So I'm really excited to have them on board to be a part of the event as well. And then we're still working
on it's interesting that you say that. So you want the audience to be all colors, even though it's an event celebrating
yes.
black women, you're saying all races can come celebrate black women.
Any and all races can come celebrate black women. Any and all genders can come and celebrate black women. Like, we are not exclusive just because this is a celebration of women with curves and color. We're not saying that we don't want everybody there, because if you love us and support us, then you'll show up for us and you'll use your voice to speak out with us.
Right. So is Curvy Noir going to be an annual event, or is it too soon to say?
Oh, Shanice, don't push me. Don't take me there. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. My team has been saying, we're not going to do this again. What's the plan? I definitely think that it's a conversation that I'm going to have. It was on the fly this time, and we were just like, oh, let's do it. You know, like, when I thought about it and I pitched it to Madame Noir, luckily they believed in me enough that they were like, okay, yeah, let's do that. That's a great idea. Let's roll with it. But I don't know.
So for this one happening this weekend, are tickets still available?
There are a few tickets available. Shanice, I don't know. I have the Midas Touch. So when I put those tickets out there, they start flying, and they were limited already. So, yeah, there are a few available. I think there may be like 10 available. But, yeah, we have a few available.
Now, do you have anything else happening that we could be on the lookout for, something you want to mention that we didn't get to talk about?
I'm working on a book.
What?
Yeah, I'm working on a book. I've been working on a book for a while. I put it on the back burner because of just nervousness, because it's a lot. Like, it's a real live confession almost. But I feel like it's needed because there are so many women, like when I talk about my struggles and things that I've been through, being molested and different situations that I've been in, it connects with so many women. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to tell it. I'm going to talk about it, you know. So I'm definitely working on the book. And I have a few other projects with different publications that will be coming down the pipeline soon. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations on your success because, I mean, from the time I met you in 2014 to now, that's just 5 years. And there's been people that been doing things 15 years and haven't been able to do, you know, have some of the accomplishments you have in such a short time. So congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you so much. I'm working. Like, people ask me, like, what are you doing? How did you get this? Like, I got so many messages. I've been verified on Facebook for a long time, and I got verified on Instagram a couple of days before my birthday in July. And so many people have been saying, well, how did you get verified? Well, how did you do this? Well, how did you do that? And I'm like, girl, I did the work. Like, I need people to understand that you have to do the work and you have to show up. Like, if you don't show up, you can't show out. And I know that everybody's goal is showing out. So you can't show out if you don't show up, though. So my secret has definitely been doing the work. Like, that's it.
Now, before you go, tell us your official websites and social media pages.
So I'm doing some rebranding now. So my Instagram and my Twitter is Maui Bigelow. My website and my Facebook is still Fat Girl Fresh, but hopefully it'll be Maui Bigelow soon. But, and I hate to say this, you can Google me and find me either way, Fat Girl Fresh or Maui Bigelow. I'm everywhere on Beyonce's internet.
Why you say you hate to say Google me?
I hate when people say, oh, Google me. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's a certain amount of fame attached to it that I don't feel like I have, but I'm there. If you type me in, I'm there, so... So at the end of the day, I guess it is what it is, because I'm definitely there if you Google me. But, yeah, so either Maui Bigelow or Fat Girl Fresh. And if you look me up on Instagram as Fat Girl Fresh, you'll still find me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. And, again, continued success with everything you have going on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you. I remember the first time I was on the Shanice Williams Show when I did the first Lifestyle Honors, and that was still, like, a real highlight for me in my career. It's still in my bio.
Yeah, I saw that. Thank you for having me in your bio. Well, all right, girl. Keep in touch, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. And thank you again to my guest this evening, Maui Bigelow, also known as Fat Girl Fresh. Make sure you keep up with her and everything she has going on. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.
You've been listening to The Shanice Lewis Show. For more info about the show, visit ShaniceLewisShow.com.